Chapter 7. We stopped at the information booth just outside the main gate first, so Becca could collect some of the brochures. She flipped through them as we crossed the courtyard and started to climb the stairs to the guard tower once again, but she didn't offer any insights on the castle. The tower was still dark when we stepped inside, and a search of the area didn't reveal any obvious cameras, projectors, or similar equipment. I even tried flashing my phone a few times, but I couldn't find any mirrors to reflect the light. I walked out onto the battlements and studied the walls, but the equipment remained hidden.
"Now what?"
Heiwan asked, as she and Becca joined me. I looked around the ruins, but there was really only one place left to search. "The main hall," I replied. "It's the only building still standing." We turned to look at the massive stone structure that stood at the end of the courtyard. It was 3 stories tall, a skyscraper in its day, and nearly as long as a football field. 3 towers loomed behind it and joined the hall to the walls of the fort. Tall, narrow windows looked out over the rubble, and though most still had glass, I spotted a few near the far end that were empty, and others had been boarded over. Oddly, there was a modern flagpole on one of the towers, though no one had raised a flag before the dino attack, apparently.
"Does it say anything in those booklets about the main hall?"
Heiwan asked as she pointed to the pocket where Becca had tucked the papers.
"Not much,"
the Brit replied.
"Lots of famous people stayed here and Cromwell tore it down. Oh, and King John did die here. The usual reports of ghosts and such. It did say they were making some much-needed repairs that would ensure the ongoing life of the castle and make it safer for everyone to enjoy."
"Great," I sighed as we walked through the guard tower again. We skipped down the steps, made another stop at the motorbikes for our flashlights, and then walked toward the main hall. Even with crumbling walls and shuttered windows, it was still an imposing sight, and I had to admire the genius who had created the ghost of King John and set it loose in this setting. The main door was still locked, but Heiwan managed to jimmy it open after a few minutes. The hinges groaned as we pushed the door open, and I fully expected a few spiderwebs to block our way. Instead, we stepped into a large room with a stone floor, a few suits of armor, and a large banner that hung from the ceiling. There was enough light to read the sign that marked the starting point for the tours as well as the map that showed the areas that were currently open to the public.
"Where should we start?"
Becca asked as she studied the map. Heiwan pointed to one of the sections of the map that was marked as off-limits. I glanced at the map and then back at the courtyard as I tried to orient myself. The spot Heiwan had selected was in the tower on the far right, and it would have given our spy a spectacular view of the guard tower.
"This one would have the best view of the tower,"
the Korean said.
"If someone was watching us last night, this is where they would be. But if they have cameras, they wouldn't need to watch."
"Still, it's as good a place as any to start. So, how do we get there?" We all looked toward the grand staircase in front of us. The sign at the foot of the steps listed which displays were available for public viewing, while another sign reminded us not to use the flashes on our cameras.
"That will only take us to the public areas, but it looks like there's another staircase through here."
The Korean started to walk away from us, and after exchanging quick glances, the Brit and I ran after her. We ignored a do not enter sign and entered a narrow, dark hallway. We switched on our flashlights and crept down the hall until it suddenly turned to the right. A few feet ahead was another door with a very rusty lock. Heiwan studied it for a moment and then turned to smile at me.
"It would be faster if you kicked it in,"
the Korean announced. "I'm not sure."
"Trust me, you can,"
the raven-haired beauty replied. I shrugged and passed my flashlight to Becca. I took a deep breath, focused on the old lock, and then kicked out like all those cops in all those movies always do. The door creaked and the lock rattled, but it didn't actually give way. Disappointed, I lined up and slammed my foot against the door one more time. The door didn't swing back, but it did open a few inches.
"Ooh, another hallway,"
Becca said as she pushed the door open and looked inside.
"And there's a staircase at the end."
We darted along the next narrow hallway to the stairs. They were worn stone with dark stains, but they looked stable, and no ghosts appeared to chase us off. We started to climb with Heiwan in the lead. She stopped at the first landing we came to, but then she shook her head and kept climbing. When we finally reached the top, we found ourselves in the middle of yet another long hallway. "Right or left?" I asked.
"Left, I think,"
Heiwan replied. We started toward the left, but when we were halfway along, I heard something rumble. I looked at the girls, and then I shone the flashlight along the hall. Dirt started to fall from the ceiling, and then metal scraped against wood. A moment later, an old portcullis dropped between us and the stairs we'd just come up. "Shit!" I blurted out.
"How do we get out of here now?"
Becca asked.
"There are other stairs,"
Heywan assured us.
"If John lets us find them."
"Shit!"
"Well, there's only one direction we can go now,"
Heywan pointed out. We stared back at the long hallway and the small doorway at the end. The door was long gone, but the space beyond was black. "Well, they weren't big on lighting," I commented.
"It was a fortress. I don't think lighting was their biggest concern."
There was more creaking, and I could have sworn I felt the floor shift beneath me.
"I don't think that's our biggest worry right now,"
Heywan said. We jogged to the end of the hall and peered into the dark space beyond. I had expected to find another hallway or something, but it was just an empty room with a slender window. Dust motes floated in the air and bits of yellowed plaster were scattered across the floor. There was another door with a tattered cloth that hung to the side. I looked at the girls, and then the three of us walked slowly across the dusty floor to the next door.
"Well, there's the staircase,"
Becca commented. The blonde was right, but the stairs only went up to the next level. There had been a downset at some point, but at the moment, it was just a gaping hole.
"I really hope that wasn't the only way down,"
Heywan sighed. "If they were doing repairs in here, there must be another set of stairs," I said.
"There's one more door,"
Becca said as she pointed to the other side of the stairs.
"Shall we check that before we go upstairs?"
I nodded and we scooted around the hole and stood at the next door. This was a small room about the size of a walk-in closet that had been turned into a storage area. There was a pile of boards covered by a paint-splattered tarp in one corner and a stack of bricks near a water-damaged wall. The room was dusty, like everything else inside the main hall, and it didn't look like anyone had been there in ages.
"I guess we go up,"
Heywan said. "These can't be the only rooms on this floor," I said, as I looked at the closet. "This place is huge, even if half of it is missing."
"That's true, but there's no way to get there from here, unless you saw a door that we somehow missed."
I knew there had to be another access point around here somewhere, and it seemed strange that the castle would have this little suite of rooms that couldn't be accessed by anyone else on the second floor, but I didn't feel like tapping on every wall to find the hidden panel. I grunted in frustration, and then stepped back to the only stairwell we had found.
"Those steps don't look very secure,"
my Korean companion said. "Maybe we should go one at a time," I said, as I shook the wooden steps. The stairs rattled, but they didn't come loose from the wall. The wood felt soft in my hands, and I wondered just how long the improvements had been going on. Maybe this was like highway construction in the U.S. It just went on and on until no one could remember a time when it wasn't taking place. "I'll go first," I volunteered.
"It doesn't look that safe,"
Becca replied. "If it can take my weight, it can definitely take you two," I said. I said a quick prayer, then I slowly eased my full weight onto the stairs. The steps groaned, but nothing gave way, so I moved as quickly as I could to the next landing. I found myself in a square space with four arch doorways. The floor here had been swept, and the scent of paint still hung in the air. There were no windows, though enough light filtered in from the doorways that I could pick out the faint pattern in the faded wallpaper.
"This looks more promising,"
Heywan said as she stepped onto the landing. "I think that's the back of the castle," I replied, as I tried to orient myself. "And that's the front."
"So which one is likely to have a way out?"
Becca asked as she appeared. I did a circuit of the room and studied each of the rooms on the other side of the doorways. Two were actually hallways that led off in an east-west direction, and the other two were rooms that didn't have any other doors. I studied the hallways more closely, and I saw that the one leading toward the east looked as clean as the landing. There was fresh plaster on the walls as well, and at the far end I could see what looked like the small red light from a fire alarm. "This way," I said. "It looks like this one's been used regularly, so we'll probably find some stairs up ahead." We walked quickly along the age-blackened boards, past a series of rooms with no obvious purpose. The hallway had no windows, but sunlight trickled in from the rooms as we went by and blended with our flashlights. I stopped for a moment when I saw a pair of chairs in one room. Metal folding chairs, to be exact, and a card table as well. The table had been folded and sat against the far wall, but I could see marks on the floor where it had recently stood.
That doesn't look very medieval,
the blonde Brit noted. Maybe the workers were using it, I suggested.
Have you ever seen workers set up folding chairs and a table at a worksite?
No. Maybe someone from the museum? Or someone who had decided to turn the ruins into their own personal domain during the dinosaur crisis. Someone who also had some skill with technology, perhaps, who had found a way to scare away anyone else who might think that hiding in the castle was a good idea.
I'd like to get out of here,
Becca said.
That guard tower of ours is starting to look positively homey.
I nodded and started forward again, but I only managed to take 2 steps before a blast of cold air whistled by us. I shivered at the sudden dramatic drop in temperature, and a few motes of dust swirled into the air as visual evidence of the wind's passage. I expected a moaning noise to move toward us next, or maybe a few clanking chains, but instead we were confronted by a young man in armor who walked through us as if we weren't there. The flickering figure vanished at the end of the hall just before it reached the staircase, though a faint scent of sweat and lilac lingered for a few moments.
That didn't look like John,
Heiwan whispered. We already know there are other ghosts here, I replied.
You can't believe that someone has really just created all these figures,
Becca said.
Some of them have to be ghosts.
It's a nice job, I said, as I looked up at the ceiling. It was too dark to pick out any camera equipment, and I didn't see any telltale flashes of light, or hear any clicks or whirs from something more modern than guys in armor. The light from the flashlights didn't reflect off any metal surfaces or lenses, either. Still, I was convinced that humans were behind the appearances, and the ingenuity of it made me even more determined to figure out how it was being done. I started down the hallway again, in the direction the knight had appeared from. The end was shrouded in darkness, and as we drew closer, the air temperature dipped again. I stopped when what looked like a candle briefly flared to life right in front of me. But when I reached toward it, it vanished. A voice whispered something about peaches and dysentery, and then the moan I had expected to hear earlier drifted toward us from the stairwell we'd climbed up.
Fuck,
Becca muttered.
This is creepy,
Heiwan added. Even I had to admit that the very atavistic part of my brain was sending out warning signals. I looked back toward the other staircase, but I knew there was no way down from there. Maybe we could have checked the other hallway just to see if there was another way down, but following the obvious signs of human habitation had seemed like a no-brainer, unless those signs were just leading us into a trap.
Who are you? An angry voice demanded.
I felt both girls jump in surprise as I whirled around to find the source of the voice. My hair stood on end as I took in the hollow-eyed form of King John, who up to this point had largely ignored us. I stuttered as I tried to convince myself this was just an elaborate hoax.
I'll see you drawn and quartered for trying to kill me,
the ghost declared. We aren't, I protested.
Cowards!
John screamed as he turned away angrily and walked the short distance toward the end of the hall. The darkness seemed to peel back as he moved, and even John began to look less like a nightmare zombie and more like a human. John stopped at the top of what I could now see were 2 sets of broad stairs that curved past each other as they disappeared to the lower floors.
Guards!
John yelled.
Kill these pestilent rebels!
The ghost pointed in our direction and then started down the stairs with a dramatic sweep of his cape. He took 2 steps before he completely vanished from view, and the light that had suddenly filled the area vanished with him. The darkness that enveloped us was so sudden and impenetrable that I wasn't sure I would even be able to find my way to the end of the short and straight hallway.
We should leave,
Becca said in a panicked voice.
No!
The stairs are just ahead, I said, in what I hoped was a reassuring voice.
The stairs John just used?
Becca asked in disbelief. We already know that the other set is incomplete, I pointed out.
We didn't check the other hallway,
the blonde replied as she started to back away from us.
Maybe there's another staircase that way.
Becca, I called. But the blonde swiveled and started to run back the other way. The blue-eyed Korean watched her for a moment and then turned toward me. With a shrug, Heiwan followed after the Brit, which left me alone in the dark hallway with whatever ghost was going to appear next. I sighed, and then I decided it wasn't such a bad idea. If we found a ghost-free zone at the other end, we could escape the hall and return to our camp. If not, and we were forced to walk down this hallway again, it would be interesting to see if the exact same scenario played out again, or if something different would happen. I caught up with my companions just on the other side of the square room with the incomplete staircase. Becca marched past the hole and slowed to a fast walk as she moved toward the other end of the hallway, though she kept her eyes focused ahead and didn't spare a look for any of the rooms we passed. The hallway we were in smelled musty and cracks stretched through the plaster. I heard a mouse squeak in one empty room, and I had to brush away a few spider webs, but otherwise this end of the great hall appeared empty. There was another staircase at this end of the building, though it was just a single set of steps made of stone and supported by pillars that disappeared into the darkness below. The only natural light was from a window above us, but it was clear there were no railings to keep you from tumbling over the sides.
"This looks better,"
Becca said. I stalled, as I thought about the sweeping staircase at the other end that had looked safe and whole in the brief glimpse we'd had. This staircase, aside from the lack of railings, had more of the narrow, worn steps, and at least three spots that I could see where some of the stonework had broken free and left a hole. The bits of rock and masonry that littered the steps wasn't reassuring either, and a quick glance at the wall revealed some impressive cracks. "I think the other staircase might be safer," I commented.
"You must leave,"
a woman's voice whispered. I looked at my companions to see if they had heard the voice as well. Both girls looked startled, and after a long heartbeat, we looked around the landing. A moment later, a frail figure in a long dress appeared near the archway to the hall. The hair might have been blonde or white, and her face was drawn and pinched.
"He is angry,"
the woman said.
"He will kill you if he finds you in the castle."
And then she was gone.
"I do not want my epitaph to be that I was killed by King John's ghost,"
Becca said. With that, the Brit started down the steps, with Heiwan on her heels. I glanced back toward the long hallway, but nothing stirred. There was no cold wind, no flickering lights, not even the squeak of a mouse. I looked at the staircase, decided I could manage the tiny steps one more time, and started to follow my companions. Becca had made it to the first turn, about halfway to the next floor, when the steps slipped sideways beneath her feet, and the Brit let out a startled scream. I saw the Korean wrap her arms around the blonde's waist and yank backwards, and then the step in front of Becca vanished from view. A few seconds later, the heavy stone crashed into the bottom of the stairwell and sent a cloud of dust in our direction. I realized I had frozen in place, and I started to move again. I wanted to reach the girls and help them return to the safety of the landing, but the staircase shivered again, and I cursed the idiots who hadn't installed a simple handrail on a long, unused set of stairs just as the step in front of me vanished.